Is it time to play the music? Is it time to light the lights? No, but it is time for a Don Deal tonight. Welcome to It's a Don Deal here on Radio Free Cybertron. I'm your host, Headmaster Don. Along with me is the crew of Radio Free Cybertron and our producer, Jason Kurt, tonight filling in for Brian Kilby while he's on assignment, trying to find a retail store that actually has something in stock worth buying. Pro tip, not so far. So let's go ahead and get started. I believe we do have, we are not taking live calls tonight. Brian does have the only equipment for receiving live calls. And Jason is not going to tweet out his phone number on Twitter. So we're going to have to bypass that tonight. So I apologize
for that.
Well,
Don, you could tweet out your number on Twitter.
Yeah, but I choose not to. But I do have yours, so I'll tweet that out in just a minute. Massey, would you take care of that? Thank you. Massey,
worst
my personal
secretary
assistant.
Ever.
Well, he's my PA, my personal assassin. But let's go ahead with... But we do have one listener message that came in earlier this week. Let's go ahead and start with that, and then we'll go on to our other topics.
Yeah, no problem, Don. I'll go ahead and play a voicemail. This is from Eric, not Garrett. There's no Garrett this week.
This is Eric from Minnesota.
Yes. So here it is.
Hi, my name is Eric. I'm calling from Minnesota. And why haven't many anime shows copied the innovations to the mecha genre that Transformers have bought, such as independent thinking robots, epic gunfights, and general sentient robots? Because it seems like the Japanese mecha shows are still stuck at making Model T characters of piloted robots. They don't like their robots to be sentient, which is ironic, being that Japan is one of our more technologically advanced countries. So I'll take the answer off the air, and good night.
All right, Don, all you.
All right, thank you for the call. We really appreciate it. With help with you being in Minnesota, you're at some point warm this time, during this time of year. If not, bundle up. As for that, I think one reason that you're looking at that is, if you have a sentient mecha, some audiences really would not relate to it as a character. Now, granted, there's a lot of us that have watched a lot of anime, and we're used to the sentient robots. You know, we're used to all these characters, like from Machine Robo, Revenge of Kronos. We're used to the sentient robots, so we can see them as actual characters. A lot of people, though, like... I don't mean this as a slight, you're a casual fan, like someone who goes to the Marvel movies, who appreciates the Marvel movies as they are in their own continuity, but not a big fan or as knowledgeable about the source material they're from. The continuity of the Marvel movies is what they're familiar with. They don't care about the handbook of the Marvel Universe said this character did this on page XYZ. They don't care about that, which is totally fine. Trust me, I get it. But like Pacific Rim, I think the reason the first Pacific Rim was so interesting for so many people is that you had characters and you had robots. The robots were not sentient, but they were in a sense their own characters to a small degree, but you lose a lot of storytelling if you just make the robot sentient without a lot of human interaction. You also lose your audience POV. So people would, be able to relate to the characters and understand that these robots are part of this universe, but getting past the point of being a sentient thinking AI robot, like from some Japanese animes, may take them out of the story since they're not used to it. So, Rob, you said you've got a comment about that?
A big part of it, I think, is also the fact that in terms of sentient robots, they are kind of a side thing in terms of the mecha genre in Japan. Transformers was generally, I'd say, aimed at a younger audience than your average mecha show in Japan, which, you know, since the very beginning, since that became a genre back around 1971, has always involved piloted robots. You know, the nature of the robots themselves has kind of changed from, you know, from super robots to, you know, military machines to monsters to what have you. But yeah, the primary focus of mecha as a genre in Japan has always been piloted machines to focus on the human characters. Whereas, you know, I'd say that Brave and Transformers and Machine Robo and all those things have been definitely more of a subcategory than, you know, the main attraction in Japan. I'd say in general, it's just because of how the shows happened in Japan, it's kind of harder for a Japanese audience, just as a guest, to see that as a natural progression, as opposed to just a, you know, like a subgenre or a sideshow compared to how the development of mecha has gone.
Yeah. I mean, look at the popularity of Gundam. I mean, Gundam has been a piloted mech show since day one, and it is arguably probably one of the best known mecha shows of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, you know, you've got, well, you've also got Big O, you've got, I guess, Super Sentai to a degree with their mecha. So it's something a little more relatable to, I think. And again, you can probably tell more adult or deeper storytelling when you've got humans involved to get the human drama and rather than just a bunch of robots that are sentient personalities, but people might not can relate to that as well. So, and again, you've got culture differences as well. So that's my take on it anyway.
Makes sense.
All right, so let's go to our first question from the chat. This is from DK Rat Trap. What does Don think about Verity appearing at the end of the current run of Transformers comics?
I have no clue. I'm not reading. I have not read any of the Wreckers comics. I've not. The last thing I read, IDW, not counting Regeneration 1, was the Cliff Jumper Spotlight. That was the last thing I've read, unless it was something that came in Free Comic Book Day. I'm just so burned out on comics right now. I just really can't muster up enough caring. I've always liked Verity. I've always liked Hunter. I've always liked the guys from when Simon Furman started. I liked where they were going with Hunter and Sunstreaker being a headmaster. When that was all pretty much done away with the coming of All Hail Megatron, I kind of just, that's the point where I said, it's interesting. I liked it. It's getting swept aside for something else and not being finished. Although I know it was finished later on down the road to a degree. So I don't know. I hope she survives this last Wreckers book. I hope she goes on to something incredible. If they do the reboot and it's the same characters in like a new situation, I hope she goes on to something important. I just, my love for the human characters in IDW, Verity, Hunter, and those early characters just isn't enough to get me back in comics. And I'm sorry about that.
I will say, since I reviewed Requiem of the Wreckers for T-Formers this week, that I think it does pretty well by Verity. I think okay. It treats her well as a character, and the you know, it winds up the Wreckers story, and it's a pretty good conclusion. So I hope people will be satisfied. It's definitely, from what I've heard about the other human characters in, you know, from the early IDW books, I'd say probably Verity comes out the best of any of them.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy Pink ended up getting brought back toward the end of Robots in Disguise, being called Robots in Disguise, and that really amounted to all of nothing. So,
yeah,
I mean, that just seemed more like a callback name drop thing, just to say, well, yeah, he's still kind of kicking around and, you know, he's kind of Spike's sidekick, except that subplot kind of got dropped after about five issues. So
and we don't want to make Dawn cry, so we won't mention Hunter anymore.
Well, we know. Well, I know what happened to Hunter. I mean, I know what happened. So
nothing good.
Yeah, unfortunately,
I don't think anybody was really satisfied with how that was wrapped up.
Yeah, like I said, Nick Roche did a lot better by Verity. I think if you ever do decide to look at the Wreckers trilogy, you will be happier with that than you were with what happened to poor Hunter.
Yep. Cool. All right.
Unfortunately, I think John DeLuna has stepped away, so the first buy or sell is not going to be read out in his luxurious voice. I'll have to just do it myself. Don, buy or sell Transformers Authentics?
Don't buy.
Good answer.
Okay. I'll admit, all I have is Megatron and Optimus. The Megatron so far is meh. It's very, very meh. It's still a term that Eric uses. It's a fun little desk bot, I guess, but it's very meh. I haven't opened up Optimus yet. It looks like that's a little more interesting of a transformation, but with Tank Megatron at this price point, you can only do so much to be a tank. So I'm hoping Optimus will be at least a little more fun. I've heard the Grimlock is nice. I don't know if I want a chance of $10 on these larger figures. If you like the simple aesthetic and you want something to just fiddle with, I mean, it's a nice little $5 toy, I guess. Or if you got, you know, if you want to give this to a little brother, little sister, niece, nephew, to keep them messing with your stuff, sure, it's great. But from our standpoint as a collector, it's meh.
And now handing off buy or sell to John DeLuna.
Hey, Don, how are you doing? Are you ready for more buy or sell?
Hit me with your best shot.
He said, stating the obvious. I'm talking like a gangster, like, you know how gangsters describe what they're doing.
No, hit me with your best shot.
I will take this club. I'll strike you over the head. Let's see here.
If you strike me down, I shall return punnier more than ever.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Let's see. It's the worst version of Hydra. Let's see what we got. Oh, buy or sell Minicons were the greatest gimmick ever.
God. I would have to say... God. Okay. I'm going to go with buy with a caveat. They were a great inclusion to the toy line. They gave a lot of extra play value to the characters. You had a lower price point that kids could afford, and that way, if they only had one or two of the bigger figures, they could still have a lot of the smaller figures and have the character interaction. The caveat is their inclusion really, really limited a lot of the toys. The gimmick had to come first, and the toy was pretty much built around it to a degree. And I think if the Minicons had been like weapons or something,
Target Masters,
if the features they activated were not as intrusive to the design of the character, then I think they would have been better.
Like Power Masters.
It's just basically I liked Minicons. From a business standpoint, it was a great play pattern toy.
Pokemon, all that jazz.
Yeah, but it also really limited a lot of the figures. There are a lot of Armada figures I kind of would like to see redone. Kind of like a Generation Starscream.
I'm much for Generation Hotshot. You want some of that?
In a better mold, maybe.
No, you don't.
But I think they were great for what they were doing from a business standpoint and for the kids. But from a toy standpoint, it really caused a lot of limitations in these figures.
I will, for the record, say Don's wrong. Combining is the greatest gimmick, sir.
Thank you.
Do the Animorphs count as a gimmick?
I'm just amused because Don's saying, you know, maybe if they turned into weapons and activated a less obtrusive gimmick, and it's like, what you're describing is Supercon Optimus Prime, which was, in fact, probably my favorite deluxe from Armada, so.
Oh.
Also, the Robots in Disguise Minicons actually turned into weapons and were actually kind of neat.
That's true.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or maybe robots that turned into weapons or less intrusive gimmicks like Target Masters and Headmasters?
Headmasters are pretty intrusive.
I think headmasters are kind of intrusive. If you want a non-intrusive partner gimmick, target masters are pretty much your baseline.
Yeah, losing the head kind of presents play problems for sure. Okay, follow up. Buy or sell. Pretenders were the worst gimmick ever.
Okay, it's going to be the exact same thing with the caveat.
Oh, my God.
No, because I love the concept. I love the original concept for Pretenders. It's just the toys inside had been made so simple to fit the concept originally with your initial Pretenders that you kind of just basically got what would be a Beast Machines transformation. The figure folds together, boom, you've got Landmine's little rocket car. Or the legs fold off to the side and you've got some Marauder. The shells were very interesting. Iguanus is one of my favorite looking shells. I love, and Iguanus had a little bit more transformation, but he was a later Pretender. So I think once you got past the first wave of Pretenders, and then you got to the Mega, like Thunderwing, who I think we all agree is a really nice figure, the Thunderwing figure.
Last buy or sell. I'm cutting you off, Don.
Okay.
I'm going to stop serving you after this one. Melvar in the chat presented a interesting kind of meta question. So he challenges us on the worst gimmick ever being Action Masters. So I ask you, is the lack of a gimmick a gimmick? Is Action Masters a gimmick because it lacks transformation? Is that the gimmick? Can a gimmick be the lack of a gimmick?
Yeah, it's sort of like on a figure in which you have a lot of brighter colors, a darker gray plastic is your highlight. You know, if you have a character that has a lot of blues or whites or brighter colors, and they have these darker spotches of color here and there, then your darker colors are what you can consider your highlights, because it draws your attention to those spots and breaks up the color palette of the brighter colors. I think that...
Yes. So Action Masters is...
At the time, also, it was such... I thought we talked about this last week, and it's a Don deal, about how at the time it was such a antithesis to the concept of Transformers is why it wasn't well received. But now we've gotten better figures that don't transform, but better capture the look of the character, and people like it. It's like that Drift figure that does not transform, but is a great representation of Drift.
Maybe not for $300, though.
I'm saying there's a lot of figure in that $300 for what it does and what it has and the paint and everything else. It just depends on, is it $300 worth it to you? So I think not having a gimmick, being a gimmick, is basically your early Action Masters, because it's sort of like first edition Prime. The gimmick was having really, really good robots that transformed into really good looking vehicles. That was your whole gimmick, was just looking like the show. And we all remember the issues we had with first edition at the time. I mean, how many people here never thought you would get a first edition Bulkhead after the initial
shipment? I still don't have a first edition Bulkhead.
Yeah, I never did get one.
Yeah.
To be fair, I like the Robots in Disguise version better anyway, so it all worked out.
Well, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So many opinions that are wrong tonight. Yeah. Hey, save this one for next week.
I don't
week,
get to Don. Say that to XP very often, so...
Save this one for next week.
That's
but
because
Eric
it's never
gonna,
true, Diecast.
Eric's asking if Animorphs are a gimmick. Save it for table that one for next week, Don. Think about it for the whole.
Do we okay, really
yeah,
let
I'll,
it?
I'll give that all the due diligence it needs.
That can be the opening Donalogue next week. Don's thoughts on Animorphs. So we're going to do two chat questions in a row now. One is off. One's not on the script because it just came through, and I thought it'd be interesting for Don to talk about a little bit. Rodimus Supreme asks, doesn't Takara own Brave?
Takara did the toys, but Sunrise, and through affiliation now Bandai, that owns Sunrise, or did own Sunrise, or whatever the case may be, owns the actual shows and likenesses. I sent this in as a listener question over to WTF at TFW, and I asked Vangelis this, about why was it a disappointment that, because Vangelis, he knows, he's as big a Brave fan as I am, probably even bigger. So, and I asked him, you know, why did we not get Brave homages in the in Combiner Wars or Titans Return? My examples were, you could have had Ultra Magnus as X-Kaiser. You could have had Astro Train as Dagon X. And I still think the Lyokaiser Combiner Wars could have made a good-looking Galgaigar. But with Sunrise Animation owning the likenesses, Takara just produced the toys. That's why we're not seeing these Brave homages, even though I think they would fit, which I think is a shame. But it's sort of like the whole thing with GoBots and Machine Robo. Hasbro owns the names, but not the likenesses. That's why we don't have, you know, new GoBots, a new GoBot series on the shelves, is because Bandai owns all the Machine Robo likenesses for the line in Japan. That's probably why you'll never see the Machine Robo line imported over here, except in specialty stores and stuff like that.
Is it possible they just didn't want to do Brave toys? Like the designers? I'm not even trying to be a jerk. Like, is it possible just the designers just don't care about Brave?
Takara loves a repaint. Takara loves reusing a mold. They like making easy money. That's three reasons right there. You could have done an Ultra Magnus with Minimus Ambus as the Kaiser and X-Kaiser, and gotten a pretty decent homage out of that. True, the Astro Train as Dagon X is kind of a stretch, but if you look at two of his modes are basically parts of Dagon X. Lyokaiser's Galgaigar, yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, I'll admit it, but we have seen stranger things like Grand Galvatron. So I think it could have been done to get more use out of these molds and at least acknowledge to the fans that did collect Brave and then do like Brave, like, hey, we're still thinking about you. You ain't getting much, but you're getting at least a couple of figures. Plus, we're getting reuse of the molds, easy money from just pumping out recolors and not even real mold changes, just recolors, and that's it. Maybe new face here or there. So, yeah, it's just a shame that Brave has been so forgotten about, except for a core group of people, and we'll probably never really see its resurgence again, at least not anytime soon.
Okay, so we have a question from Jared Hebert. Who do you want to see in Thrilling 35, as he's putting it, or the first year of War for Cybertron trilogy outside of Impactor and the usual 84 to 86 Autobots and Decepticons?
Well, like I've said when this has popped up before, I want to see War for Cybertron be our G1 story pre-launch of the arc, but from a multifaceted point of view. As I said before, from like Exo Squad, we see it from the Autobot side. We see it from the Decepticon side. Maybe there's a neutral side that's trying to work for peace. There's Alpha Trion, who's an Autobot, but he has his own agenda for trying to working with Primus behind the scenes. There's just all this storytelling. We could see Skyfire in the first season, and then we see him head off for Earth, and we know what happens to him. So what I want to see is how we got to the point up until where the arc launches, you know, because we have, see, this is sort of, it's kind of like Clone Wars. I started watching Clone Wars because I really liked the character of Ahsoka, and I wanted to see how all this fit in with the Star Wars continuity. But then I realized something. No matter how great everything that happens, no matter how wonderful the storytelling is, it's like watching Titanic. No matter how great the story, the boat still sinks.
Have you followed Ahsoka's story recently?
I haven't watched it. I haven't watched it in years. But I'm just saying that again. I'm more burnt down on Star Wars. But I'm just saying, it's similar to that. But we have all the once the arc launches, we have all this history. So it's not like everything that happens in War for Cybertron will be worthless, because the boat doesn't sink. You know, so we can get these backstories, we can get these motivations, we can see all this stuff that leads up to the arc launching, and then we can take satisfaction in that the story before the story has been told, the prologue has been told, and then we can go from there. That's what I want to see from it.
Okay, so we will do one more question, then go to a couple more buyer sells. So Rodimus Supreme asks a question. I think this is kind of interesting. If a new Beast Mode character were to be added to the fiction, what would their Beast Mode be? What would their name be? And what continuity would they be in if you designed them, Don?
This is
animal,
weird.
Vegetable, or mineral?
Animal. I'm going to go back to, I would like to see, and again, I mentioned this animal before, I want to see a platypus. He's a platypus. He's a maximal. But he's sort of like a platypus version of DEFCON. He's like a bounty hunter kind of thing, like a freelance peacekeeping agent, if you would. But he's aligned with the maximals. And he just basically takes care of the stuff that Max, like, if you need someone, you know, removed from the picture, I guess he'd be like Repugnus, you know, because Repugnus was kind of this whole character in that he did the dirty stuff because nobody else would do it. So I'm kind of thinking this would be like a covert agent. I guess maybe the Autobot counterpart to Ravage, Beast Wars Ravage, taking care of, you know, the darker side of the Maximal problems. But he's this really goofy, good-natured Maximal, because with a Beast Mode like that, how could you not be like this goofy, happy? He's like a happy assassin.
But he's still doing all this dark stuff. But
yeah,
he's,
it sounds
really
like
it'd
be a perfect fit for Beast Wars 2nd or Beast Wars Neo.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just saying, it's like he knows someone has to do it. And besides, if you were an evil Predacon, would you expect a platypus to be trying to kill you? No.
I'd be trying to figure out what it is.
Yeah, never trust a platypus. Look at it. Like, that doesn't look natural.
Is that some kind of fusor of a duck and a groundhog? What's going on here?
Yeah, a platypus is a real-life fusor. Like, it actually is.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just thinking, It would be just such an interesting design they could do so much with, but it would need a character that matched the uniqueness of it. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess his name would be, I'm never good thinking about names on the spot.
Names are difficult. Be happy you never had kids.
Oh, I know. Underdown.
Well, we'll workshop that. Yeah, John, do you have some buy or sells for us?
Yeah, I've got one. I can't believe this one hasn't been asked before. I'm going to think it's from Diecast. Buy or sell Titans class Unicron, the dream of geez. A Titan class Unicron. And then I have a follow up.
Yeah, it's a buy. I mean, I don't think the Armada Unicron, I don't think the Armada Unicron has aged badly. It has aged to a degree, but I still think if you need a Unicron, it's like a backhanded compliment. It's not. It is the only one in its various recolors. I understand that. The Energon, the more movie accurate. So, yeah, but it's still the same mold. So I think if you want a Unicron on your shelf, it may not be this phenomenally giant, huge one that you would get as a Supreme or a Titan class that you would get through the Hasbro Labs. But it's still perfectly fine. But I think with all this buildup, like Diecast said in this week's RFC, in the Machinima series, if you're watching that, God help your soul. You know, I think we're going to get it. You know, Magic 8-Ball. All signs are obvious, you idiot. Duh, we're going to get one at some point. It just, okay. but it may be Hasbro Labs versus a regular release. I don't know.
Okay, my follow up to that is buy or sell. Titans Class Unicron will be good.
After the last couple of problems with Trypticon's shearing legs and the general floppiness of Fortress Maximus and the overall, to me, hardness to find a Metroplex. I saw one Metroplex. It's all I ever saw in any retail store.
And the everything of Predaking. Yes. Well, go on.
I don't think Predaking looks that bad. I don't think he looks great. I don't think he looks bad. They really need to get this, because this is going to be the only Unicron that we're going to have probably for several years. Plus, with the QC issues we've had, they've got to get it right. So it's not that it's going to be good. It has to be good.
Otherwise,
they're going to shoot themselves in the foot if they screw up again, like with Trypticon's magical shearing legs. Roar, I've fallen and I can't get up. You know, we don't need that again.
That's a drop. Okay, I got another one. I don't quite understand this one, so I'm just going to put it out there. Buy or sell Brian's G.I. Joe collection.
I would say probably buy, because I mean, it's not, I don't think his Joe collection is that big, but I know he has the pieces that he likes. So I'd say just hang on to him. I mean, I don't think they're going to be bringing, you know, barnstorming money. So he might as well just save them and enjoy them.
Is Joe stuff worth anything if it's not like sealed in box?
Probably if you had a loose, complete Defiant flag,
Rolling Thunder. Yeah, it's not brown.
You know, stuff that's in good shape with all the hard divine parts. I'm sure you could probably fetch a pretty good, like a Terradrome. An actual complete Terradrome would probably bring you a fair chunk of change. A complete flag with all the railings and stuff would be, you know, so because there's so many parts that could have gotten so lost.
Buy or sell. A USS flag auction where let's see here, how to phrase this. Buy or sell USS flag auction, buyer pays shipping.
Ouch.
That would be based on where you are and where they are.
Uh-huh.
Because that ain't going first class. So
it's going freight, slowest truck in the land.
Say what is in here? Books. It's going media mail. It's all books. Trust me.
Yeah, 6 feet of books. I like to line them up. I like to ship my books linear, just in a line.
It's a complete set of Encyclopedia Britannica, double A to double Z. They made those. Yes, they did.
And then I just set the box up, and it's a bookshelf.
By the way, on a related note, there is apparently the Dallas-Fort Worth G.I. Joe action figure and toy show is going to be taking place June 9th and 10th at the Grapevine, Texas Convention Center. I will see everybody there. That is walking distance from me, so I will take a stroll and report back via Twitter. So,
All right.
Segment two of Buy or Sell has come to a close.
All right. Well, we got one more chat question before we go to Don's Money on the Table. This is also from Jared Hebert. He asks, if Generations were to include characters from outside G1, G2, and the movies again, because some of those were considered Generations series, what would you expect to see revisited?
Well, I would like to, if they can get the rights to RID 1.0, a Generations Car Robot Brothers with new molds, obviously, because the old ones don't exist anymore. They were running to the ground.
Yeah.
We've got those. You've got maybe a Voyager Fire Convoy and a Voyager Ultra Magnus that you could get a Godfire Convoy from. You know, so that way you could still have some representation of those characters without the cost involved of the classic figures. Again, there's a lot of good character. There's a lot of good toys in Armada, Energon, and Cybertron. But especially Armada and, to a degree, Energon, I would like to see them redone in Generations that wasn't bound by the gimmick. Maybe say a gift set of a Generations Tidal Wave, and he could come with the Ramjet Minicon. It really wouldn't activate anything, but it would be like a partner, like, you know, that's his Scout Minicon or something like that. I liked Energon Rodimus. I thought that was an interesting design. I didn't really care for his pants or shirt mode, but a Generations figure could be interesting. Rescue Bots. Definitely want Rescue Bots in Generations. Bit more complex transformations. But they would still have the same overall, the look of the Rescue Bots, but have a little more complex figures. That's probably what I would like to see. Again, not having played any of the video games, I know there was some tie-in stuff from the toy lines from that. I can't think of anything off the top of my head I would want to see from those lines revisited, just because I didn't really deal with them that much. That's probably all I can think of off the top of my head right now is some of those.
You know, I like your Robots in Disguise idea as a starting point. And I was thinking, too, circling back to the Brave topic from a little bit earlier, you could do those Voyager, Optimus, and Ultra Magnus as symmetrical docking kind of thing. Like,
oh, yeah,
it'd be a completely different kind of Omega Prime, but it would also be a really interesting toy that way and probably be more within the realm of what a Voyager can do engineering-wise.
Right, and they've already done that successfully with Omega Supreme from Energon, and unsuccessfully with Jetstorm from Animated. So building on the success of Omega Supreme and Omega Sentinel, and ignoring the god awful cluster mess that was Jetfire and Jetstorm from Animated, yeah, I mean, that would be very interesting to see them do a symmetrical docker. And as a Godfire convoy, I like that idea a lot.
And I also want Legends class spy changers. So with that out of the way, Don, tell us about the money being left on the table.
All right. Well, the money being left on the table is from our friend Melvar, and he raised a good point that where are our Combiner Wars, Battle Gaia, and Guard City? And
Unite Warriors, specifically Unite Warriors. That's important.
Unite Warriors. We know that some of the box sets did not do well. I understand that. But G2 is an acquired taste. Not everyone has such a refined taste as myself and Chris and others that like the G2. I mean, yes, we understand it's an acquired taste. It's still awesome, but it is somewhat niche. But when you're Takara and you have a property like Battle Gaia and Guard City that the originals fetch huge bucks, and you've got an entire segment of the population that would want a representation of those characters, not even counting people overseas, just within Japan itself, like Star Saber. You know, these are very hard to find toys. You could redo these Combiner War sets. I don't think it would hurt the value of the originals, because when you're at that level of needing a Transformer for your collection, Guard City and Battle Gaia are so far above what you would consider a collector's item. I don't think making a new Combiner Wars version would really affect the price of the originals. I don't see that happening, at least not anytime in the short future. But they could easily do these characters with existing molds. We could finally get representations of these figures that we cannot afford on our own. They could create some goodwill with the fan base in making these figures. And while I have no problem with the Lyle Kaiser that we got, it's really not a bad figure. But I would like to see them put the work they did into Megatronia and Grand Galvatron, that level of off the wall, of out of the box thinking, and make a Lyle Kaiser. So I think they're leaving money on the table by not making these figures, because there's so much more than what the Generation 2 figures were. They're iconic figures that people aren't going to be able to buy. You could still go out and get a G2 Bruticus or G2 Superion. You can't run right out and grab a Guard City and Battle Gaia. So I think they're leaving money on the table. I think they're losing a lot of good customer, a lot of fan goodwill. And they, and if nothing else, in the barest bones, they're getting another use from the mold. And we all know how much Takara likes that. And that's a Don deal.
It's a Don Deal is a Radio Free Cybertron podcast production.